been talking about, called to follow being a disciple. We know about discipleship, I believe, in this congregation, this body here. Maybe some online don't, but maybe they do. Discipleship is such an honor, such a privilege. It's such a blessing to follow after someone, especially Christ. And I had read this verse the last week, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are heavy and burdened, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today we're going to be talking about the next part. Last week I spoke about the disciples being called to follow. We talked about Peter, Andrew, James, those that were at the boat that day and what happened. This week, we're going to be talking about apprenticeship and what discipleship requires. We're going to be talking about accountability. The next week, we'll talk about action. So accountability is going to be more the focus today in today's message. And I feel the heaviness of accountability in that. So apprenticeship, as we've discussed, is simply following the master. Like last week when the disciples were called. And when we are called to him, to give our lives to him, he knocks on our heart's door and he draws us. And then we yield to him and invite him in, confessing that he is the Lord and Savior of our lives. He is our Savior, our Master. He is the great teacher, the Messiah, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I cannot say that enough. I can repeat that a million times and it's not enough. He is God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we're thinking about accountability to God and family and the church and the community, that's what it's all about. That accountability to our God, our relationship with him, the accountability that we have with our family, our relationships with our spouse, our children, our parents, and others, the accountability that we have in this congregation, in our church, in the church at large, that accountability. And in the community, what are we doing in the community? What part do we take on our jobs? We have accountability. Accountability. Action, when we talk about it next week, is also in relationship with God and family, church, and community. Action takes a whole another part of this, and just it makes it more in depth. We see something that's not just standing still, but something in motion. Action takes a couple of things that we'll talk about next week, and that's active listening to God in reverent fear. So Ecclesiastes 1:5 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, to draw near to, listen is better than to offer sacrifices of fools, because they don't know what they're offering, they don't know what they're doing. It's just calling us to taking action in our responsibility to pay attention to who it is we serve. He is a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. And we, when we think about fearing him, and we must understand that it's in a reverent fear. It's a reverence. It's a holy reverence of who he is. So we ask ourselves, how do we revere God? And we're going to talk about that more next week in action. And also, working in the kingdom, the work. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all these other things are going to be added to us. We need not worry or fear or be filled with anxiety. And in our active service to the Lord, in our active service, we are seeking God's kingdom first. That's what we're doing here. Every Sunday morning when we meet in this prayer room, we are seeking God's kingdom first. I want this more than anything. I want every part of everything we do here to be so saturated with the presence of the Lord that people that are strangers to us and have not met us will experience something that they had never experienced before and see God at work in us. To be an apprentice, we need to follow him. Following him, we must be accountable in following him. And then we'll talk more about that action next week. Apprenticeship means learning from Christ. We know this. We know this. Learning from Christ. How do you learn from Christ? How can we possibly learn from Christ? One thing that's going to happen here at Easley first is another service being opened with the taught word of God happening in it. That's how we learn of Christ. We hunger and we thirst after righteousness, and when we're doing that, we go for it. I saw many people going for the tasties in the back. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will go to whatever means we need to within God's grace and in his giftings to receive from him, to learn from him, to grow in him, to become who we're to be in God Almighty's grace and mercy and great love in Christ. Learning from Christ. And the same verse applies. Jesus' words. And I can't say it enough. It gives me great comfort to hear these words. You remember last week when we had the picture of the oxen and the yoke? Jesus says to us, and I'm going to read it again, 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. The world is filled with people who are filled with anxiety. Even the young children now are filled with this spirit of anxiety that just rages in their bodies. God is the answer for this. When we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us a way of having the rest we need. Not only physical rest, but that rest of mind and spirit, that emotional rest, that place to lay our heavy burdens down. And we can do that at the altar, at his feet. We can lay those heavy burdens down. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learning from Christ as his apprentice. Now, maybe there are some that don't know what an apprentice is. An apprentice is someone who maybe they're hired by someone who is an expert in their field. For example, my husband became an apprentice of my father in the cabinet shop. He learned all that he knows now about cabinetry to the point where he now runs the cabinet shop. He followed guidelines. safety protocols. He followed rules. He followed my dad in how to cut things, how to measure things, how to do this and how to do that, how to sand things. I worked in that cabinet shop as well. Now, this was my father who was trying to teach me, and there are different temperaments like we talked about last week. My dad would try to help me. He would say, sand it this way to run it through this machine. And I would be like, I can't sand it. He would say, this way. And I would say, I can't push it through there. I have to do it this way. Well, one day, because I did it my way, the board went flying across the room. Dad was right. Following Christ is following Christ, not our way. His way. His way's best. We cannot do that unless we sit and learn from him, hear from him, know and learn. James 1:5 is learning from Christ by seeking his wisdom. This is what James 1:5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without fault. He does not hold back. It will be given to you. It says, and it will be given to you. If we lack wisdom in something, say soul winning, like we're needing to learn soul winning. Maybe we have a fear of actually opening up our mouth and saying to someone, Jesus loves you. Asking God for wisdom and how to go about it. And then sitting in the times of learning, sitting at his feet, studying his word, reading, seeking his face, praying, and listening and learning to good teaching, the gospel word, will get you there. God will answer. He will give you wisdom, not man's wisdom, his wisdom. He is almighty and all wise, and he can make a way where you would not even begin to fathom how to do it. I was going through a terrible time in life a few years back. It was the worst time I've ever had, and I've had some times that have been pretty rough. But there was one particular time that was so rough, I thought I might actually not make it. I thought I might even turn away and run from God. Because I was so afraid. God, in his loving kindness, continued to work on me. And I called on him and I asked God for wisdom. It was such a trying time. It was such a dangerous time for the souls of people I love. And more than I knew. Or even know now. And God moved. He moved in their lives, but not only in their lives. He helped me, and I felt the road was so narrow and tight that if I stepped to the side of that souls would be lost. I was concerned that if I took the next step, I would have made mistakes. Lord, I sought the Lord. Lord, what do I do? How do I do this? Help me to do right. Help me to wait on you. Help me to listen to you. Help me to listen to you. And then as he led, I would take a gentle step forward and watch God move in a miraculous way. You call on God like you all are calling on God in that prayer room. And God will move in a miraculous way because you're touching the throne of God in Jesus' name. We're not asking selfishly. We're asking according to his will. Ask according to his will as he leads you and watch him work a work. This is following God as a disciple. This is following Jesus, who asked and prayed often to his Father. If we lack wisdom, all we need to do is ask. If you're a child of God and we don't ask for what there is to ask for, and we're held accountable for, well, what'd you do? Well, I don't know. I didn't know how to do it, Lord. I was afraid. I was like, it's just me, you know. We're going to be held accountable. Ask. Seek God. Be that apprentice. Follow Him. Follow Him. Psalms 25, 4 through 5 says, show me your ways. And this is about learning. We're seeking His wisdom. Now we're seeking for Him to show me, God. Show me your way in this situation. Show me how to deal with this. You know, every situation can be very different from the one before. Every time we get sick again, it's different than the one before a lot of times. And sometimes we don't get sick again, praise God Almighty. But we still need to call Him in. Every time we have a problem with maybe a family member, a friend, maybe it's something else, maybe it's work, maybe it's finances. There's so many problems we can have. We can pile a mountain of problems up and focus on that all the time and just worry and fret and be filled with anxiety. But God wants us to call on Him. Because He is the supplier of everything that we have need of. He said, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. He can take care of us. He can take good care of us. And He does. Psalms 25, 4 and 5 says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. All day long, all my life, all day long. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we open the door going out of the house, the Lord is there. From the time we get in the car, if you go that route, when we hit that ignition or push that button or whatever it is you do when you start your car, or maybe you're up sitting at the table or the couch or wherever you're at in your day, God is with you. If you are His, He is yours. He is with you. And He, help me, sister, I got myself stuck. He leads us. I am. Just unhook the bracelet. Thank you. Now, don't we need each other? We need Him to show us the path to go in. And I've told this before. I grew up in Ohio, and my dad had a shop across the driveway a little ways away from the house. And he would be working, and the snow would be deep, and it was my job to take him his cup of coffee. I loved doing that. It was always a challenge not to spill it in the snow on the way over. But the reason it was so hard not to spill it is because I tried so hard to reach his footsteps over in the snow. And I was small, and it was hard to stretch, and I would spill a little coffee, and he'd have like a half a cup of coffee by the time I got there. Following God, He will help us. He will make it to where it's not so hard to take those steps. As we begin to move, He makes a way where there was no way. You begin to move in prayer and seeking His face, just like what's happening in this prayer room. And we're going to see what God does, and He will move. He's already moving. When we think about accountability, I want you to understand what that is. I believe you do. When we think about it, sometimes it's hard. We are accountable as a pastor, as a Christian. We're accountable. The people that we are to minister to, if we do not warn them, then we are at fault. Their blood is then on our hands. But if we warn them, then it's on them. God wants us to speak. Sometimes it's hard in families. We've got to be very careful of what we do, that we don't hit people over the head with the Bible, that we come with an approach of, I love you, and God loves you, and I feel I need to say this, that we make sure before the throne of God that there's not one ounce of pride in here that would cause an issue with the other person or us before God. That we humbly do it in humility. Sometimes it's just as simple as saying, you know what? I love you. And Jesus loves you too. Can I pray for you? They may say no. Okay. But I still love you. It's okay. Pray for them anyway, but not right there. Accountability is the obligation to accept that responsibility for one's actions, our decisions, and even the outcomes that happen. We do have in the world those that's our accountability. If we mess up, it's whose fault? So many people hide and run when they mess up something instead of making it right. So many people don't even try because they're afraid to mess it up. And it's okay. We're not going to get it right all the time. But God can help us to make better choices. He can even help us make amends when we do wrong, because we are going to offend people. We're going to offend people. That's going to happen. But God is there to help us to make it right as much as possible as it is within us. And if we're running around offending people on purpose, there's another issue altogether going on, right? But we're responsible. We're responsible for how much we listen and follow God. Discipleship, we're called to follow. It's not just get saved. Let's just get saved and we'll get on the boat and that's it. We need to be following the Master, walking with him. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Gives us a greater understanding of the accountability that we're taught. And this is Jesus teaching this. This is a parable of talents. And Jesus is teaching. Verse 14 in Matthew 25 says this, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more." They've invested their talents. But in verse 18 it says, "But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." He hid it. Verse 19 says, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me to me these 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' This person did not waste time, his talents. Whatever it is that God gave him, he didn't waste it." That's what Jesus is pointing at. That we don't waste it. That we step out, invest. God, he'll take care of the rest. His master in verse 21 said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's what we want to hear. He also said, "You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward. "Master, you delivered me 2 talents, and I have made 2 talents more." This is what this person could do. This was within his ability. And he did with it what he could do with it. And God blessed him the same. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much." I don't see a difference there in the reward. It's about the faithfulness. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I feel that's an excuse for his lack of courage in this. "So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground." That sounds like greed to me. Like he had a great gift, and he hid it. "Here, you have what is yours." But the master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent. My own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even that he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is a stern warning, but yet a great promise. For our faithfulness to God is rewarded. Remember that when times are tough. Maybe it is financial, or maybe it is just in your health or something going on or pushing through something. You go your whole way following God. You step out of the comfort zone and watch God move on your behalf. He will move mountains. I mean it. He will literally move a mountain if need be. And make a way where there is no way possible. Glory to God. He supplies our needs, whatever they may be. Does that mean that we get what we want? Not if it's not God's will. It must first be God's will. Or else we will regret it. Luke 9:1-2 and verse 10 as well says this. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. These are the disciples of Christ, those who were called, the 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority, and he told them what to do with the power and authority, and they followed him in this. They obeyed him in this. Now, I'll tell you, when God gives you a gift, it's not just yours. It's the Holy Spirit's moving through you. We are the conduits. He is God, and he will flow through us to do whatever he would like to do as he wills. And he will make a way for us to see God's glory even in the midst of everything that's going on. I hope I'm making sense for you. I have seen some things. I have seen some things, and I am so, and you have seen some things. God moving mountains. Recently, God provided something for someone in this very congregation because God used the talents of someone who doesn't even go here right now. Hopefully he will come. He's going to church somewhere else. God bless him. But God used his talents to bring about meeting this great need. And maybe we'll talk about that at a time. God makes a way for us. He wants to use us as a conduit. He wants to make a way for other people to know him. It is not our gift that we covet, that we hold, that we press down, that we hide when God gives us a gifting of his Holy Spirit to work and operate in the congregation, in a church setting, or in the community, in our lives. We're accountable for what God gives us. We must follow his will. We must follow his will. We must do what he wants us to do. I feel that. I feel that strongly. I feel the Lord is saying to Easley First Assembly, I got this. God has this. I give this to you. Will you obey me, God says. Sometimes we may not know what he wants us to do. That's what we do. We pray. We seek wisdom. Sometimes we don't understand completely, but when you pray, you seek wisdom, and you seek godly counsel, and you seek the word of God, and you grow in coming and learning. And humbling yourself before God and learning, then we grow. And we grow mighty and we grow strong in God. We have to be careful with what God's giving us. I feel that so strongly, that we don't take it lightly that God's word is going to be taught, that God's word is being preached and taught, that we don't take it lightly. I feel this way. If I miss a service, oh, I miss something huge. Even when I went on vacation, it was like, I need to know what's going on. Thank the Lord for the Facebook and the online. But we need to be present as much as possible, because God is going to be working more and more. And we need to be about his business. I love you all. God loves you. Now, accountability is commanded in Matthew 8, 5, and 10. Matthew 8, 5, and 10 says this. I'm reading from the NIV this time. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come to heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself, he explained, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Understanding the authority of Christ is where it begins. For us to be able to be accountable, we must understand who Jesus is and what his word is meant to do in our life and what he wants us to do. We must have a relationship with him. We must be accountable. He's commanding it. This example helps us understand that. If Jesus says, go, we're going. If Jesus says, come here, we're going to come on over here. Whatever Jesus wants us to do, that's where we need to be. We need to be in action going that way. We'll talk about that more. Verse 10 says, I read it, and when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to his followers, now Jesus himself, talking about this man's faith. This man's faith was based on who Jesus is and his understanding that Jesus could just speak a word and it would be done. Jesus could just speak a word and it could be done. John 8:28 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. Jesus gave this example of being accountable to what the Father has taught God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives us this example so that we will walk in this and that so that we will live in this, so that we will follow him and go out into the world and teach and preach the gospel, share, witness, tell about Jesus and what he has done for you, for me, for us. The enemy does not want that to happen. He doesn't want me to talk about this anymore. He wants me to stop it. But that's not what God wants. God wants you on the battlefield. Out here in the streets, in the highways, in the byways, finding those who do not know him and inviting them to him. Say you are in Greenville, miles from here, and you find somebody who lives on the other side of Greenville, and for some strange reason, only God does this, not really strange, you find yourself in a discussion with them about serving God, and they ask you where do you go to church, and you tell them, and you want them to come here, but it's so far. Send them to a church you know in the area where they live. Tell them to get in touch with Jesus. Tell them how to pray. And then there's Bibles on that back table if you want to take one and give it to someone. They're doing nobody any good sitting on that back table. They look pretty, but they're not doing anyone any good. Take one. Give it away.